You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special book launch episode. Come on, holding up that book. Our book is finally live. I have Jason Shoup on the line. He is president of Ferguson Roofing, and we've both been on this journey to publishing this book together and really getting the message out there. Jason wrote about stewardship and business in his portion of the book, and we'll be going through that today and getting into his ideas and what he wrote in the book. That being said, hey, Jason, first off, for the listeners that haven't caught any of the previous episodes that we did together, Jason's a return guest, a welcome guest. Just want to say, hey, welcome back to the show.
I appreciate that. It's always a pleasure to spend some time with you.
Oh, man, Jason. So the book is live. How do you feel? You're going to Disneyland? Like, what's going on?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. My family, we actually are going to Disney World flying out tomorrow.
Oh, come on.
So that's a funny joke that's playing out to be true. But we're excited about it. You know, I'm in the process of sharing it with as many people as I can and trying to solicit feedback from them. But yeah, it's been a fun process. I'm looking forward to getting it in the hands of more people and hearing what their thoughts are on not just what I shared, but what all the other wonderful authors have shared as well.
Yeah. So I know, and we'll talk about this as well. I know you, maybe you've caught the book bug. I know you're working on another book already, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I have to ask, like, you crossed over now into the world of the published author, like, and how do you feel?
I feel good. I was actually taking my son to school this morning, and he saw I have a couple copies in the back seat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, buddy, I'm a published author. And he knows this. We've talked about it, but he actually, you know, saw the book and he's like, for real? I'm like, yeah. Like, look on the front, my name's there. as surprised as he was, you know, sometimes it still hits me that, wow, I actually am published and an author. And it is a bit surreal.
It's an interesting thing, I'll tell you. And I remember, like, especially when kids, because kids get to see the book for the first time and they're like, wow, like this. One of the things I like is that it lets them know, like, it's possible. For myself, growing up, I didn't really know any authors. I didn't know anybody that had been published or anything like that. All I knew from books was either like in the library or otherwise, but I didn't know any of those authors. So when I first, you know, kind of got involved in books and otherwise, it made me think when I met that first author, otherwise, like, oh, maybe I can do something like this, or maybe I have a message that's worth telling too. Like, you don't, like, everybody can learn from everybody. That's where, like, I first started getting that idea and thought process that, like, wow, maybe it's possible, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I know we've talked in the past, on and offline, it's such a process going through it that it changes you in a way. And what it forces you to do to go through the process to actually get words on a page. And I think it's something that a lot of people should experience.
Yeah, it's great. So I know I went off on a little bit of a tangent for a long time listener. Like, he didn't ask the Mission Matters question. I'm going to ask it. Trust me. So we'll start off with that Mission Matters minute. So Jason, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Jason, what mission matters to you?
You know, knowing this question was coming and, you know, I've answered it before. And I think every time I get asked it, I'll probably answer it a little bit different, you know, depending on kind of what's immediately going on, you know, but related to not only what I wrote, but also in general, with a lot of stuff I'm working on for my business and a few other people outside my business, I would say it's really just a mission to get better and to use that to do more. And by getting better, just again, that iteration, that versioning of how do we just keep improving, but with that improvement, you know, not just for, you know, the standard monetary goals of business, which are important, but how to figure out how to utilize those resources in the best way possible to do more good for others in your organization, for your community, and just to keep ramping up the world we live in.
Yeah, it's great. So I'd like to take a moment here. So I know within the last couple months since we've been working on this project that, you know, unfortunately had a loss in the family. So your brother, which we of course want to acknowledge and send you our condolences, but, you know, going through, you're in the middle of a lot of things. We run businesses, life, different things happen that are not necessarily expected. Would you care to comment on that at all? Like on what that has meant for you in the process?
Yeah, it's, you know, I lost my brother in February, and it's very, very sad. And it's, you know, impacted the family as you'd expect it would. And it really, any hope in these things, you hope that it really brings everyone together. And I really feel that's what's been happening with our family. It was interesting because for those who've read it, you know, my journey through family business, the majority of that journey was with my brother. And even though things professionally didn't end as well as we would have hoped, he was, my experiences with the business, and he was a big part of this, were a catalyst for how the book came to be and what I wrote about. And it's unfortunate because he passed about 2 or 3 weeks before the book was published. So he never had an opportunity to read it, whether he would have agreed or disagreed or what that would have meant to him. It's unfortunate he missed that opportunity. It is interesting when I reread it, knowing that, you know, he's no longer with us, it just adds that much more to the importance of how you look at and how you navigate through family businesses. Because families is the first part of that. So it brought a lot of stuff. It gave me a lot to reflect upon, is probably a good way to put it.
Yeah. And well, definitely our condolences on the passing, and wishing you and your family the best, of course. Let's switch it up a bit. So I do want to go into some of the things that you wrote. And I don't want to assume that all of our new listeners caught your first episodes that we've done together. So maybe just give a little bit of the background about your family business and some of your history as a business owner.
Yeah. So we're a third generation business. My grandfather started it, and then it moved to my father, the second generation, who really scaled the business up, went from the mom and pop operation during my grandparents' time to, you know, what you consider more of a proper contemporary business. My brother got involved in it in the late 90s. I didn't get involved until the early 2000s. And we're, as the name implies, we're a roofing and exterior construction-based company. And so I, without having really a traditional background, I had a very eclectic, you know, background, and occasionally was, you know, in the biology world. So, had a very different background, professionally and educationally, but got involved with the family business in late 2003, 2004. And then 2007, I became president and just learned how to run a business and how to own a business, you know, with had good mentorship from, you know, my father, as well as a lot of advisors we had around us. But you also have to learn a lot of lessons the hard way just through doing it. But a lot of that was also learning how to navigate the family side of the business, which is another dynamic. And we spent a lot of time and money and resources and energy into navigating those dynamics, which is what, you know, the consequences of, one of the consequences of family businesses when things don't go quite right with the family is what is really the driving force of this book. But really, it's just what I learned from that experience over the last 17, 18 years of being a business owner in a family business and how to juggle both of those very heavy balls.
So stewardship is the central theme in your book. So really stewardship in business. So we'll go through some of this, and we're not going to go through everything, by the way, for everybody watching, because we still want you to buy the book, and we'll have the links and all that good stuff in the show notes. You can pick up a copy. But first off, just what is stewardship in the context of business? Like, what does that mean to you, Jason?
Well, stewardship, you know, for me is, you know, whether it's whatever entity or organization, that is something that needs to be nurtured and protected. In the business world, it's usually the business itself. And it's, stewardship is really looking at what needs to get done to protect that entity and everything it represents. You know, so it's going to have some sort of value system, which is why it exists. But then there's going to be some some tangible component of it. And for most businesses, it's really the people. We have different products and services that we that are the monetary components of the business. But at the end of the day, it's really a collection of people. And at the end of the day, it's so you can provide a livelihood to people so they can go enjoy their lives in the ways that they want to see fit. Stewardship is what do we need to do to protect that entity? And I know after going through the family business journey, there's oftentimes the belief that you have, you know, the ownership, which is the entity, and that there's not really separation. And one thing I learned is that's really not true. Is the entity, it's especially in a multi-generational business, it needs to be something that can operate without the ownership, in this case, specifically without me. Yeah. Because if I want it to sustain, I'm not going to live forever. So how can I run this operation if it's based off of me? I need to separate myself from the entity. And how do I provide the mechanisms, the people, the structure, the love and support so that organization can exist beyond me and still serve its goal, both from providing the services to our customers, but also providing the opportunity for the staff that chooses to be along with this ride so that they can get the maximum benefits for their own, you know, gains and quality of life.
Man, separation can be hard. There's so much that to unpack on there, right? It's a lot of the, all of it ends with, you know, whoever's in charge, right? So to speak. that separation component, I know I've struggled with it at different points in my career, sometimes certain processes or this or that, but it seems to me like by going through, you know, and kind of reframing the thought process on stewardship and what that looks like, there can be like hope and there can be light at the end of the road. Like this is the way, there's a way to do this properly to where everybody wins, right?
Well, 100%. I mean, we've all, I'm sure, know businesses where the ownership is in the process of aging out and they have no successors lined up. And what happens to that business and what happens to that legacy? What happens to all the people who are, you know, oftentimes, you know, aging out themselves in a business that may or may not sustain because the owner, you know, hasn't set it up for the next chapter, or there's always a hit by the bus factor. I've known of organizations that have failed because of an untimely death, and the business wasn't set up because it was always driven by an owner and not thinking about, well, this organization needs to live beyond the ownership. And it is hard to separate because oftentimes many of us have our name in some way on the side of the building. And there is that branding component. And I think it should be held personal because you want to invest yourself into something that you believe so much in and does represent so much of who you are as well. I mean, it's not a total separation. The organization should really represent the values and passions of the steward. But there needs to be some disconnect because otherwise we have the potential of thinking of ourselves more than thinking of the organization, which ultimately is thinking of other people in the organization, because they need to be thought of. You can certainly say first, but they certainly need to be included in the thoughts of the business, the strategies of the business, and the decisions and future of the business.
It's great. So taking it a step further, I know we've talked quite a bit, obviously from the ownership side and the succession side. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting about your chapters in regards to stewardship is that you were talking about also financial security and the idea of it being for everyone, like not just the ownership. I thought it was a very interesting angle that we don't talk about enough, in my opinion. Like, what was the inspiration behind that?
You know, as I've settled into my role, and you know, the business has done well over the years, and consequently, you know, my financial sustainability, you know, has our solvency has become, you know, fairly sustainable, you know, during this, as you would hope for anyone who's running their own business. And so as you start to get to that point, you know, I think it's easier to start to look beyond yourself, you know, whether to, you know, community philanthropic stuff, which is certainly part of the book as well, but also with the staff. I shouldn't put words in other people's mouth. For me, you see how many people work really, really hard, how much they invest of their own lives into the business, oftentimes for many years. We have a tenured staff in many regards. So you see that these people have devoted their whole lives to this operation. And yes, you may pay them a fair wage, but there's always a disparity of how well they are set up to transition into retirement than what it, the ownership, you know, is, you know, is doing. And yes, there's always going to be some disparity in earnings because of roles and other things like that. But it's not just the earnings. It's really just what are you doing with those resources? You know, so I had the opportunity to learn from my parents and other advisors about estate planning and about investing and all those other mechanisms that really let you do something with your resources, whatever they are, to maximize them, to have the best opportunities and plan for that, that next chapter of your life, whatever that, that is, whenever it's going to start. And it doesn't seem that that institutional or generational knowledge is shared with the institution itself. You know, there seems to be limits of, okay, we're going to, you know, do benefits and things like that, but that just helps people get through their day to day. Yes, you can have a 401k program, which is super valuable, but you're not really educating people on how to really utilize that and to work with the right people and come up with a plan. They're not necessarily setting themselves up for that next chapter. They hopefully can retire earlier, but as we've seen society, you know, people keep working later and later and later. And why is that? It's not just because we're working longer, but there's a failure to apply education that is out there to better for that, that those later stages of life. And that's, I know I've been doing that for my own family because I've learned from my parents, and I talk with my staff, and there's definitely a knowledge gap there. Whether they didn't have some of the same opportunities from their parents, or I think a big piece of it really is just the business forces you to look at those things because we have to look that far ahead. And then I just applied what we did for the business to myself personally. So how can I then provide a structure to pass that same generational knowledge to the rest of the team? And then on top of that, how can I create mechanisms that do help accelerate their opportunity to do something with that knowledge? And those are the things that, that I'm looking to right now.
And that's so important. And it's interesting that you say that, because as I was looking through this, I, you know, when you're reading and naturally when I read books, obviously I tend to reflect back on my own life and think about how it applies. Right. And so when I was thinking about this, I'm like, okay, so my dad was a business owner and he didn't know anything about retirement or retirement accounts or things like that. So that generational knowledge I wouldn't have had I not gone into the business of finance. Like, so that was my, for those that have been watching the show for a long time, I mean, I was in finance almost 14 years. Maybe I didn't shake the suit and tie, right? Still wearing that one, but now I'm a media guy. I've been doing that for many years now, but I wouldn't have had that generational knowledge. So when I think about, like, I'd had plenty of jobs leading up to that, that role, that I had worse when I started in finance and down that path. But like a lot of times it's not just, you know, it's not just pay. It's not just different things. A lot of times, exactly what you said, that knowledge, whatever is there, there's a lot of missing gaps. There's a lot of things that maybe individuals don't know and they're not necessarily going to seek. And maybe us as employers, we may just assume or think they know or otherwise, or maybe think it's not our responsibility maybe at times, but it really is. Like the more that I age and the further I go along in business and the, you know, the larger our company gets, thankfully, thanks to the listeners and everybody else that supports us. So thank you, seriously. But like I see like even more and more with our employees and our organization, not just through the content that we put out, but by putting, by being really specific about messaging and creating those opportunities for employees to learn, to lean in, to other knowledge that they may not have had a, had access to, which I think that is. And one of the central themes I get in the writing that you gave in terms of talking about like stewardship and how that works.
And there's ways where, you know, like one, for instance, so I'm a huge advocate of estate planning and trust. Yeah. And that's one of those things where a lot of people don't really think about. And a lot of people aren't motivated because trusts really are only useful to, you know, your offspring, you know, or whoever survives you. So no, it's not, it's not cultural, something you get a benefit from.
We didn't talk about it.
Yeah. And, but I want to make sure my family is provided for. So just pass on the knowledge of trust is one thing, but then there's also an investment that a lot of people aren't going to, you know, spend, you know, the money for, not that it's terribly expensive. Of course, that's a relative term. So things that I'm looking to do are, how can we as a business provide a way to help subsidize some of that? You know, do I move potential bonus monies instead of a cash outlay into an investment for, you know, to helping offset, you know, trust cost so that they can actually not only learn the knowledge of, yes, I need a trust for my family, but I don't have, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 laying around for a trust. Yeah. Well, what can we do to help then bridge that gap, which is now a resource situation, so that they can actually then, you know, act on the knowledge that they now have. So these are different things I want to look at and how we can, you know, move money that we contribute from different benefits to the business or add more to that pool to then help fund or partially fund some of these opportunities. Because again, to know and not do is the same as not knowing. So I want to help people know these things, but also help facilitate their ability to do these things to some capacity. So that's just one example of, again, helping to remove obstacles and provide knowledge and then set people up for success to better take care of them and their families.
You also wrote about philanthropy as it relates to stewardship. Tell us a little bit more about that and its importance.
I'm a big advocate of philanthropy. As I even noted in the book, my intentions and ideas have been better than my implementations. But I mean, at the end of the day, we just need people to be better. We need the planet to be better. We need to solve these you know, economic and cultural and generational issues. I want for everyone the same opportunities that I've been afforded in life. And I'm very grateful, you know, for that. So what can I do? Well, the business is a great mechanism to do things at a greater scale. The problem that I've run into is, you know, again, we're a, you know, what would be considered a small business. And it's very easy to put the philanthropy on the shelf if you have to focus on the operational stuff. Oh, yeah. And what I've been really working on is how do we actually infuse it into the business structure, into the strategy, into the culture, so that it's not something like, oh, we're going to do philanthropy when we have a good year, or we're going to do philanthropy when we're not, you know, at a peak time where we're really distracted, but how is it just part of the regular business strategy? And how do we fund it accordingly? And how do we just make it part of what we do? And that's the only way that for me, I think we can do it consistently, sustainably, and at scale. Because there's so much more I can do with all of our staff than what I could just do as one person. And so that's just really what I've been, I don't want to say struggling with, but it's been a goal of mine that I'm just not quite reaching yet. To really realize the plan that I have in my head that I beta tested in a different initiative, just to make it a reality. So we can just do, like I said, I just want to get better and do more good. And I think the business is capable of that, but I just need the entire team to be rowing in the same direction and just infuse it into our day-to-day or week-to-week or month-to-month activities.
Oh, that sounds like the name of a show. Get better and do more good. I'm in, Jason. That's a great show name. it's great. And we're all trying to do that. We're all trying to get better and do more good. Like that's the goal. And that's one of the reasons I was just so excited to have your writing in our book and being able to publish it and get it out to our audience. It's been really a pleasure working through this process and publishing process with you and your team. I just have to ask, I mean, you're a busy guy. I know you got a lot going on, obviously running the business and other things. Like what's next for you? Like what's on the horizon?
My main goals right now, well, of course, the philanthropy piece, you know, which we already talked about, is really trying to realize that to the level that I feel that we can. Yeah. I've really enjoyed the writing process. So as you mentioned, you know, because we've talked before, I do have another book idea. I'm wanting to start running with that. Deals with the focus is what I've learned as a parent and what I've learned as a CEO. Really, there's a lot of overlaps, and I've been able to apply knowledge from one to the other, and I think there's a lot of good synergy between those two that I can expand upon. And then I've always enjoyed public speaking. I'm one of those rare people who absolutely love to be in front of an audience of some size and talk and share ideas and collaborate. So I'm always looking to continue boosting my opportunity to be in different speaking opportunities.
Oh, that's great. And we're looking forward to continuing to help amplify your story and message and to get the word out about your speaking and your topics. What are some of the things that you like to speak about? I'm curious. Because as we kind of, a lot of people listen to this, they're looking for speakers and other things. Like, what are some of the topics that you like to talk about or themes?
You know, I'm one of those that any facet of business, you know, I have, of course, my spiel on Family business, is an obvious one. Mm-hmm. My background in that. Talent is, I've done a TED style talk on talent that I'm always revising. I have a very unique background myself on the jobs that I had, mm-hmm. and how I find talent and develop talent and reorganize my organization around talent that I really want to get on board. I have a whole methodology that I can share in a very succinct fashion that has worked well for me. And I don't think it's the norm. I think a lot of people miss out on good talent because of looking at talent development or recruitment in too conventional of a way.
Yeah.
That's where most of my speaking energy has gone to lately.
Ah, that's awesome. Well, Jason, it's been so much fun working on this project with you. For everybody to look, take a look. We're going to add the link to it in the show notes so you can pick up a copy. If somebody wants to connect and to follow your journey and continue the dialogue and to also inquire about speaking and opportunities because they have an event or they have a conference and they're looking for a keynote speaker. I mean, how do people connect with you, Jason?
You can always find me on LinkedIn, at Jason Shupp. And email for me is still a really good way. It's jshupp@fergusonroofing.com. I live and die by emails like a lot of business owners. So LinkedIn or email is probably the best ways to get a hold of me right now.
Perfect. And we'll put all that information in the show notes so that the audience can just click on it and head right on over, shoot off that email and connect with you. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters, we're all about bringing on experts and entrepreneurs and having them share their experiences, like what excites them about their businesses, what knowledge they want to pass on. And really, if that's the type of content and information that sounds exciting and fun and engaging, hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based entrepreneurs just like Jason coming up on the line. And we don't want you to miss a thing. And Jason, again, so thrilled to have published you and to get your work out there. Thanks again for participating and being part of the project.
Yeah, thank you for everything. It's been a great experience. I encourage everyone to connect with you and be a part of this.